Welcome back to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, it's nice to see you, even if it is still on Zoom. It's been a while since we've done this. It's nice to get back together and talk.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, we're doing these the monthly podcasts. We get some nice guests on. The last time we were together, Dan Moore was a guest of ours. And today we have a great guest as well. We have Brad Lambert, who is number 5 among international skaters on Central Scouting's midterm list. So we're looking forward to chatting with Brad and what's going on in his life and with his change in teams recently in January. So looking forward to that, Adam. And, you know, hey, there's some big news as well that we heard over at over in Vegas at the All-Star game, huh?
We did. We did get some positive news for the draft out of NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman during All-Star weekend in Las Vegas. He said, we will have an in-person live with people in the building draft, preferably in Montreal at Bell Center, assuming, you know, attendance restrictions for COVID can be worked out with the Quebec government and the Canadian federal government. But if that can't happen, he did say other sites would be considered. You know, it's been a long time since we've done one of these live in-person seeing actual people draft. It was 2019 in Vancouver. So, you know, after two virtual drafts, I'm looking forward to going somewhere and seeing that big, beautiful draft board that we're all used to seeing and actually seeing people. It would be nice to actually see people.
Yeah, nothing takes the place of actually being at the draft and just, you know, the atmosphere and the excitement, even on the tables, on the floor with the NHL teams. They're all looking forward to, you know, making their picks. You know, there's always a lot of trade talk going on, so that's always fun to see. You know, you're hearing a lot of rumors on the draft floor. So you're right, Adam. It's been a while. It's been only 2 years. It seems like it's been 5 years. It's been so long. But yeah, certainly something to look forward to. And in fact, this year's draft, I believe, will be the 60th in the history of the league. So it's a big number. It's an even number and it's a special number. And we hope that we can have it live. If it's not in Montreal, then some other location, as Commissioner Bettman said. So we would look forward to that. Definitely. No doubt.
Yeah. And that's a little bit down the road. We're about 5 months out from that. But before that, we've got some other good news. Big news. CHL Top Prospects game finally has a date and a home coming up here on March 23rd in Kitchener, Ontario. Mike, I believe the 2020 Top Prospects game in Hamilton was actually the last time we were together in the same room. So finally, a little bit of normalcy, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. It's another big event that we traditionally attend and we enjoy, you know, being able to talk to the top 44 prospects. I mean, you don't get to all of them, but at least you can see them on the ice in the actual game. You know, the testing that's done the day before, you get to learn a little bit about the assets and the qualities and what these players possess as far as skating, stick handling, defensively. You're looking for players that have that speed, moving backwards. Even the goalies get tested and you get to see what they are like. But to watch the game, to talk to the players, to learn about them, learn about their lives, what they're all about is what makes, you know, writing features and doing the podcasts and doing video hits on these players. That's what it's all about. So we would look forward to that, right, Adam? March 23rd, the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. I know Dan McKenzie, the CHL president, said it, you know, it's very important that these top draft eligible players get the opportunity to showcase their skills in an event like this for the NHL scouts possibly in front of fans. We expect that in Kitchener. So, we would look forward to see several good players, many of which are probably ranked, among the top 32 in Central Scouting's midterm rankings, including Shane Wright. We would expect him to be there of Kingston. And right now, Shane Wright's number 1 on the midterm list. So, another opportunity for Shane Wright to showcase his skills and what he's all about.
We'll get rosters for that event down the road a little bit. That's about a month away. But for now, let's bring in our guest, Brad Lambert from Pelicans in Liiga in Finland. He's number 5 in Central Scouting's midterm ranking of international skaters. He's got 7 points in 32 games between JYP and Pelicans this season. And he's got a pretty interesting background with Finnish and Canadian citizenship. He's someone that we've heard about for a while, going back to when he was a 16-year-old playing at the World Juniors in 2021. Brad, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class. How are things going?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Things are going good. Busy schedule coming up. We got a lot of games in February, so just getting my rest in and going to practice every day.
So busy season, busy time for you. You know, how have you handled all the pressure that's been on you this season, considering all the expectations? You're a guy that we've been reading about, you know, hearing about for this year since your age 16 season. So how have you been able to handle all of that pressure?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see it as pressure. I see it as an opportunity, and just every day is a new opportunity to go out there and show what you can do. And I don't think there's any pressure. I don't like to feel too much pressure. Just go have fun, do what you love, and try to get better.
Brad, can you tell us why you decided to sign with Lahti Pelicans in late January after you played 24 games with JYP? So kind of a major transaction switch for you. Why make that decision? And do you have experience with the Pelicans?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Pelicans is my hometown team. I knew pretty much all the players here. And, they were in a position where they needed a player. They were losing Schmeichel to the Olympics. And they wanted me to come in to replace him. And I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to play on a team that's fighting for the playoff position and help my hometown team win hockey games and make the playoffs. And, playoffs has always been one of my favorite parts of the year. And to have that opportunity to fight for a team that's in a playoff spot right now is, really big for me. And I think it's a good opportunity.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I know that we discussed trading emails this week, how playoffs was such an important part of, what you want to go through. Obviously, it's those are the moments you want as a player to come up big in those big moments. So, but I'm sure fans are curious. You're number 5 in NHL Central Scouting's midterm rankings of international skaters. So congratulations there. I know you'd probably want to move up as well. So there's some motivation there. But what do you believe to be your greatest asset, Brad, on the ice? And is there a certain NHL player that you model your game after?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think my greatest asset's my skating and puck skills and vision and competitiveness. I'd say those are, my biggest strengths. And, I try to watch a bit of Matt Barzal and Nathan MacKinnon and how they play and maybe learn a little bit from their game by watching their games. But, I think everyone's their own player and needs to find their own way of playing, but there's definitely some things you can learn from watching those guys.
So I want to turn back the clock a little bit, Brad. World Juniors was about a month ago. I know it was only 2 games, but you scored 5 points, a goal and 4 assists. I know it was a short time, but, I'm sure it felt good to have that experience after maybe not the way you wanted it to go the year before in the World Juniors. What did you take from, I know it was only 2 games, what did you take that where you were able to kind of pack into what you've done now in the last little bit?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it was a great tournament. I had a great line there with Helenius and Koivunen, and we just kind of clicked together right from the first practice and had a couple of good games. Obviously, it was really unfortunate that the tournament got canceled. I would really like to go further with that team. I thought we had a great team and great group of guys and a really good team atmosphere there. So, I think we could have gone a long way if the tournament kept going. But, for sure, I got some more confidence, and it always helps when, obviously I struggled a bit at the start of the season to produce points. I haven't scored as much as I wanted to, and then to have a good World Junior, obviously it was good for me.
Yeah, that was great to come up big. I believe, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe you had like 5 points in that tournament. You were one of the leaders, at least top 3, might have been at the top of the scoring leader list. So it was a great start for you there. And I guess there's a chance that the tournament may resume or they may hit a reset button there in August. So we'll have to see what the IIHF has in store for us. But The one thing that I'm really curious about, Brett, I mean, your family, your dad's family, they were all born in Canada. Your grandfather, dad, and both his brothers played and coached hockey most of their lives. Your one uncle, I believe when we spoke in October, coaches a AAA midget team in Saskatoon. Your cousin Jimmy is a senior at the University of Michigan, and your other uncle Lane played six NHL seasons, is now the associate coach with the Islanders. And then on your mom's side with her family, they're all Finnish. They live in Finland. They were also, you know, really involved in ice sports. Your aunt played for Finland in the Ringett World Championships, won a bronze medal, and your uncle coached Finland to a gold medal at the Ringett World Championships. So to me, it seems the ice is like your home away from home for everyone in your family. So can you talk about the dynamic, you know, the family dynamic here and how they've kind of shaped you into the player person you've become?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Hockey has always been a big part of my family's life and my life. And, you know, I'm really grateful to my mom and dad for that, for, you know, making all those sacrifices in order for me to, you know, do what I love. And obviously it's a really competitive household. And also when I go visit my cousins and aunts and uncles in Canada, we always, you know, used to play mini sticks down in my grandma's basement with my cousin. It's always got really competitive. And, you know, I think that's really helped me a lot, just having, you know, a competitive atmosphere to be in. And, you know, everyone hates to lose, and it can even get pretty ugly sometimes playing ping pong or pool or something. So, you know, I think that's definitely kind of shaped the kind of person I am in the competitiveness type of thing. But yeah.
So, Brad, I'm curious, you know, between, you know, a dad and two uncles who played pro hockey, who's given you the best advice as far as, you know, your hockey career?
Yeah, you know, I think my dad has always been given me very good advice, you know, ever since I was little, you know, just whether it's on how to skate when I'm learning how to skate, or now after games, watching game films and just, you know, going through little things. But, you know, he's always been really huge in my hockey career.
So I'm curious, you know, you've got the Finnish citizenship, you've got the Canadian citizenship, you've spent your whole hockey career over in Finland. Was there ever a thought to coming over to Canada and playing in North America?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we thought about it when, you know, the Blades drafted me a couple of years ago. We talked to them. So, but, you know, I thought it'd be good for me to stay here and play against men and compete against men. And, you know, I think I can really improve. I could really improve the things I'm not so good at, like, you know, just battling with men, and my strength and stuff is a big thing I wanted to improve on. And I thought playing with men would really help in that.
Hey, Brett, are you as good in ringette as you are in regular hockey?
I have never tried ringette.
You've never tried it before? Okay. I saw some highlights. I saw some YouTube stuff on it, and it looked pretty neat. I know there's no blade on the sticks, right?
Yeah, no, and you have to pass over the blue lines. Oh. You got to go offside.
Wow. Okay. So, well, maybe your aunt can teach you one day. So that'll be interesting. I'm curious, when you were at JYP, obviously the number one ranked international skaters on that team as well, Joakim Kemmel. What is special about Kemmel, and how does your game maybe differ from his?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more of a shooter, and, you know, he's got a great shot. He's really competitive too. And, you know, he plays really physical, and, you know, I just think he's overall a great player. He's a good skater, and, you know, that he's got to have one of the best shots in the age group. And, you know, but I think he's more of a shooter, and I'm more of a play driver. So, you know, I think we're a bit different in that way, but we had a great relationship. We hung out a lot, whether it was at the rink or at off the ice, just going to eat and stuff, doing a lot of stuff together. So it was great to have him. I mean, we're in similar situations. So, you know, it was nice to have someone like that on your team.
So, Brad, other than maybe improving your ring get skill, do you have any goals for the rest of the season you want to accomplish? Anything you want to show to all the NHL scouts that are watching you between now and when we have the draft in July?
Yeah, you know, I think my main goal and the reason, you know, I came to Pelicans is just to help the team make the playoffs and go as far into the playoffs as possible. And I think, you know, if I can do that, then everything else will take care of itself. I mean, just go to the rink every day, get better, and help the team win hockey games. That's the main thing I'm concentrated on right now.
Well, this is great stuff, Brad, and I encourage all our listeners to follow Brad on NHL.com as he files his monthly draft diary leading up to the NHL draft. His February diary can be accessed on NHL.com on Friday, February 11th, and I recommend everyone take a look. Brad's always been very insightful, and you learn a lot about his hockey makeup and the game he plays in Finland. Honestly, Adam, I think Brad has the tools after a hockey career to maybe be on NHL.com, be a writer. He's doing an exceptional job here.
Well, we do have the international site, so we're always looking to hire.
Well, Brad, you know, thanks so much, man, for taking the time out of your busy schedule here. Continue working hard, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Mike, a lot of great stuff from Brad there. What really stood out to me is, you know, the reasoning behind wanting to go to Pelicans and leave JYP.
Yeah, it just shows the desire and determination of a player that, you know, wants to be in that playoff type setting, wants to be in that playoff atmosphere. The Pelicans are in a playoff position right now, Adam. They had some injuries, but losing, you know, a forward to Czechia, the national team for the Beijing Olympics. So they're looking to add a couple players to help them down the stretch. And Brad Lambert was one of those players they were looking for. You know, Brad told us that, you know, the playoffs have always been a favorite part of the season for him. He didn't qualify for playoffs last year with JYP or the year before, since the playoffs were canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So when he gets the opportunity to increase the chances of playing playoff hockey, he wanted to do it. And that's why he made the decision. And on top of all that, I mean, he grew up playing in the Pelicans organization, as he stated. You know, he played with a lot of the players that are still there, you know, and everyone that he talked to said that, you know, nothing but good things about the Pelicans organization and how they've grown and how they've become a much better team and a great organization. So good for Brad to get this opportunity and possibly play in some meaningful games down the stretch. And of course, you can read about all this. I mean, Brad's going to deliver his NHL draft diary on NHL.com. On February 11th. So you can catch a lot of that and what's going on in his life and what the trade meant to him and everything else. So it's all good stuff. But the one other thing too, Adam, I thought was kind of interesting was when Brad was talking about how the World Juniors kind of, you know, really got him going. Maybe it was like a little bit of a restart or a jumpstart to his career this season.
Yeah, you know, he played as a 16-year-old and there were a lot of expectations on him going to that tournament. Maybe he didn't have the tournament that he wanted last year. This year, he was, you know, he would have been, if the way he started that tournament, he was able to keep it going this year, 5 points in his first two games, he looked like a dominant player. You could see the speed. You could see his ability to take over games and not just be a playmaker, be a play driver. You know, I know he only scored the one goal, but he was just outstanding in those two games. I mean, I can't speak for you, Mike, but he jumped off the screen every time I watched him. You know, if he had been able to keep that going, maybe we'd be talking about him as number two on the Central Scouting International rankings, maybe even number one if he had continued that level of play. So if he can springboard off of that, I know he's got one goal in eight games with Pelicans, but if he can use that World Junior success, use that confidence moving forward, and he's able to take that speed, take the puck handling, take the strength in his skating, and carry that with him against older, more developed competition in a men's league as an 18-year-old now, geez, that's going to just make teams really keep an extra eye on him. And come the draft in July, that you combine that with the extra, hopefully, playoff games he's going to get by moving the Pelicans, more viewings, more opportunities for the scouts to see him, more chances for scout for him to show the kind of player that he can be, which is a high, high, high end offensively gifted player.
Yeah, this was one of the things that we discussed with Dan Moore in a previous episode, two episodes ago of Draft Class. When we asked him about Brad Lambert, right, Adam? You know, and I remember Dan saying, you know, sometimes the expectations kind of run amok when you go and watch a player play and you don't get that all-star type performance out of them every game. And then you tend to wonder as a scout, as an evaluator, is the projection too high? So, you know, Dan said, you know, he could say, or he told us the majority of the scouts, the background noise on players leading up in their draft year doesn't really take away from what they see in a player's projection. And what we see in Brad Lambert is, you know, he's becoming a more consistent player. I think we certainly haven't seen the ceiling yet for Brad Lambert. And that's an exciting thing. And you touched upon a lot of his skills and abilities and what he's capable of doing. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit for Brad Lambert. And I think with the Pelicans and him being able to showcase his skills in a playoff type setting is going to be very important for not only the Pelicans, but for Brad Lambert and what scouts want to see in those big moments and big minutes of the, you know, the best games in Liga this season. So certainly, you know, it was great to catch up with Brad and learn about that. And obviously he's a player that's going to be on everyone's radar come the 2022 draft.
And speaking of World Juniors, one more time, we're going to get the tournament back going, you think? I mean, it ended pretty abruptly December 29th, and there's been rumors, there's been thoughts, there's been hopes maybe it comes back. What do you think? Do we get the resumption?
You know, it looks that way. It looks like the IHF is really leaning towards having the tournament in August. This is all hearsay and rumors that we're reading about, right, Adam? So until the IHF comes up and has a plan in place, it's, you know, it's not going to be easy. There are a lot of tournaments, but in addition to the World Juniors, I mean, you'd also like to see maybe the IHF make a concerted effort to get those women's championships, world championships that were maybe canceled or postponed. So in addition to World Juniors, the World Junior Championships, you like to see, you know, the women, you know, have their opportunity to play on the grand stage as well. So it's a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of, you know, tinkering with schedules. And of course, these players at the World Junior Championships, right, Adam? I mean, a lot of them are going to be gearing up, some of them. You look at an Owen Power, for instance, the Buffalo Sabres, first overall pick in the 21 draft. Look, training camps are going to be opening in September. Is my question would be, would Owen Power be interested in playing World Junior Championships after he's been playing at the Olympics? He's with Team Canada right now in the Olympics. Is he going to have any interest playing in the World Junior Championships in August and then have to go to training camp where it's even a grander stage for him at an NHL type setting? Is he going to be willing to do the World Juniors? So these are all interesting questions I think, you know, we'll need to know before the actual tournament takes place.
Sounds like a good way to get ready for training camp, I would think. Play some high intensity tournaments.
Absolutely. It probably would be, but I'm just wondering if there's might be a little burnout if the Olympics, you know, come August, you know, you'd have to do some training, some practice sessions. So you're looking at the entire month, depending on when the IHF would want to hold the tournament. So that would be my only question is, will we get the same amount of players, the same quality of players? We know the players that are going to be part of the 2022 draft would probably play. They're not playing in the Olympics. They're probably not going to be going to training camps, at least most of them, in September. So that would be my biggest question to see, you know, how many of those players would return? Because we know the coaching staffs would most likely be there. We know a lot of those players, you know, that were on the teams might be there, maybe, you know, 80-90% of them. But I'd be curious to see how many of the players do return.
Maybe we got some summer hockey to look forward to. That'll be fun. We're always looking for something to do during the summer. But that will do it now for this episode of NHL Draft Class. As Mike said, you can follow Brad Lambert's draft diary. That'll be coming up. That's coming up Friday, correct, Mike?
Yes, Friday, February 11th. Yep.
So you'll be able to follow that. You can follow all of our NHL draft coverage on NHL.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at NHL Adam K. Mike is at Mike Morial NHL. And you can subscribe to NHL Draft Class anywhere you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, any place you enjoy them. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.